I'm learning that when you really understand who's in control of life, when you understand that we are just mere pilgrims passing through this life, we are just mere aliens on this time side of life, and when you understand who holds your life, you know, life takes on a different meaning. I don't know about you. Life is beautiful. Amen. It's beautiful. Amidst all of the trials and tribulations I face, amidst all the pains and anguish that I go through, it's good to know that I serve a God that is in charge of everything. So therefore, the believer ought to be at a higher level in his Christian walk. And I want to show you this morning with this lesson that we have been looking at since January 1, 2019. Ambassadors for Christ. And Paul here in this letter to the church would write these words to remind the believers, because you have obeyed from the heart, Romans 6, 17 and 18, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, and have been added to the body of Christ, to the church, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you are in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, Paul says, now then, we are new creatures in Christ. And I don't know about you, when I get something new, boy, I get excited. My sins have been washed away. I'm a brand new creature in Christ. And because of the death of my Lord and Savior on the cross, you know what? I don't have to go through half of the anguish that the world goes through, because I'm learning what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 5 and round about verse number 5, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. But Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, I don't know about you, you are not my adversary. Amen. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Peter said in that next verse, he resists those that are steadfast. And I'm learning, in order for me to be steadfast and unmovable, I have to do what God commands me to do. In Luke chapter 6 and round about verse number 46, Jesus says, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you to do? And I don't know about you, he's only given us two things to do. Amen, walls. And we can't even do that. Love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is not difficult to do. You know why it's so difficult for us? Because we just don't want to do it. Amen. And so this morning, as we look at this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, Paul would remind the believers, as children of God, God has done something for us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You and I that are part of the body of Christ, that are part of the church. Church, we ought to be totally different than the world in which we live in. Let me show you something. Go with me to 1 Peter, and I believe it's chapter 2, and round about verse number 9. Peter says these words to remind the believer of how important we are and how the world should see us and view us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and round about verse number 9, Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. I don't know about you. I remember when I was lost. I remember a long time ago when I served that fellow that I thought was the right fellow. But I'm thankful to God that he was able to look down the cord of time and send the very best of heaven to reconcile me. And that's why I take it so personal, because God saved me from me. Anybody here needs to be saved from yourself? You don't have to raise your hand, because I know that I know that you know that I know that God knows that you know that I know that you need to be saved from yourself. I'm learning that. Amen. I'm learning the biggest problem ain't you. It's me. And if I can help me, and the only way I'm going to help me is I got to be in the book. I'm learning the more I study and meditate upon the word of God, you don't bother me. The life don't bother me that I live. Even though I may have pain from sun up to sundown, that doesn't bother me, because I got a house not made with hands. eternal in the heaven. And see, and that's where the believer needs to elevate his mind to. And I'm learning the reason why we are in the condition we're in is because our mind is on everything but making heaven our home. Maybe because I got a little older, Henry. Then I begin, no, it ain't got nothing to do. Ain't got nothing to do with age. I'm reminded that one day, each and every one of us sitting here is going to be called into question. Yes, we're going to all stand before his judgment seat. And you can sugarcoat it and shuck and jibe all you want down here on this time side of life. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 10, Paul says we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account to everything that's done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Paul says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I want to persuade somebody this morning to stop and think about if he called you right now, right this very minute, what would he say to you? Would it be well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or would it be depart? It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. And I don't know about you. I don't want to stand guilty before the Lord and hear those words. So therefore, it behooves me in my Christian walk to live up to what I said I would do. The fine print was when I came up out this watery grave, I was like the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, when God looked around and saw that no one would go, the prophet Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. And God needs some folk this morning to step up, step out, and stand out for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so this morning in lesson, as I call upon God to be with me as I speak these words, I want to hope and pray that you will allow the Spirit of God. Jeremiah said something very important. The Spirit of God, which lives in each and every one of us that have obeyed from the heart the gospel. If you get out of the way, the Spirit will do its part. Oh, I'm learning that. Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 30. Paul says, quench not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking be done away from you. Grieve not. You ever grieve something? Do you not know that when you don't do what God commands you to do, you grieve that Holy Spirit that's inside of you? That's why sometimes you look the way you look. Amen, Walls. That's why sometimes you act the way you act. Because, see, when you let go and let the Spirit of God in your everyday life, God will give you a peace that Paul says that surpasses understanding. How can you have that kind of peace when this is doing, that is doing, you got to rob Peter to pay Paul and never get back on track? Because you trust in a living God that said he owns the hills of 1,000 cattle. I don't know who you serve, but when you really understand what's truly important on this time side of life, you'll stop working like a dog for Caesar and start living for the Lord. Right. Amen. And I'm learning that only comes when you bathe yourself with the Word of God. Now, all of that didn't cost you nothing, but that ain't part of my lesson this morning. This morning, I want to talk to you about an ambassador of Christ. And as we talk about this ambassador of Christ, I want to show you an ambassador of Christ must be merciful. Amen. Amen. I'm learning. Boy, that's a hard word. Say merciful. Merciful. Oh, come on, y'all. Work with me this morning. Say merciful. Merciful. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to be merciful. y'all having a hard time getting it out? I'm going to show you this morning that in order for us to be merciful, we got to understand where it comes from. Just like love comes from God, mercy comes from God as well. As ambassadors of Christ, we must be merciful in all that we say and do because we represent God himself. We must learn and we must practice and we must teach how to be merciful and show the world around us in our everyday life that the mercy that we have, that we extend to you, comes from God himself. Amen. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, when God made man in his image, he said he needed some help. And he was merciful to man. And he gave him a help meet. Amen. And they are to multiply and replenish the earth. And as a result, if they keep God in that covenant, guess what? Nothing can separate them. And I'm learning, church, that when you understand the mercy of God, you'll understand life a whole lot better. See, Christ showed the mercy of God, and he was willing to die for it. John chapter 3 and round about verse number 16, for God so loved the world. We quote that all the time, but do we really understand? He had mercy on mankind. How do I know? Because in Genesis chapter 6 and round about verse 10 and 11, he repented that he ever made man. Amen. I don't know who you serve, but when I get to reading this Bible, boy, I see that the God was so merciful on man. Genesis chapter 3, he prepared a body to redeem Stan. Oh, that's powerful. That's what motivates me. He sent the very best for me. You ever gave somebody your best? Huh? And they misused you and abused you and talked about you and did everything and came back for some more. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all going on back to sleep. I'll be through in a few minutes. But see, when you really understand the mercy that God had for all of humanity, you'll understand that as ambassadors of Christ, we must be merciful in everything we do. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated how much he loved man. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. You talk about the mercy of God. And church, I want to encourage us and remind us as God's chosen that we must learn to be merciful in all that we say and do. I didn't say it was easy. Because if it was, guess what? We would have a different walk, each and every one of us. It's something that one must practice. It's something one must learn. And the way we practice it and learn it is we have to learn it from the Word of God. I want to show you real quickly a couple things. As ambassadors of Christ, our mercy is seen through our obedience to the cross. Amen. I'm learning that my lifestyle, the things that I say and do, will show who I really, truly believe in. See, our lifestyle, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, should be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Our lifestyle should show the world that we are children of the Most High God because of the life in which we live on this time side of life. But in order to do that, it requires something. I'm learning to be a true child of God, to really do what God requires of me. I got to get out of the way. Right. You know, I don't know about you. I like me. Huh? And I better not say the rest of that because you might. Anybody in here don't like yourself? You ever get big-headed? Oh, come on, y'all. Work with me. You know good and well from time to time we get puffed up. But I'm learning, church, that when we really understand the mercy that comes from God, God gives us a level of humility that helps us to understand who we are. See, Christ was God's example of mercy. Let me show you something. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 real quickly. And I want to show you something that the Hebrew writer talked about. Under the old covenant, there was no forgiveness of sin. Sins were rolled forward to the following year. And as a result of that, God had to prepare his son to come to take away the sins of the world. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and round about verse number 1, for the law has a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of things, can neither with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continuously make the coming unto perfect. For then who they knew had ceased to be offered because they worshipers was once purged should have no more ceased of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance of sin made every year. For it is impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away the sins of the world. Verse number 5 says, wherefore, when he comes into the world, saying, sacrifice and offerings thou would have not, but a body hast thou prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifice for sins thou had no pleasures. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books, as it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And above, when he says, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. If you don't understand that, you better go back and do a little more study. See, that's why, as a child of the Most High God, I'm excited. You know why? I don't have to worry about the past, because I got a bright future. I don't have to worry about condemnation, because if I'm in Christ Jesus, Paul said there is no condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit. Verse number 10, the Bible says, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all. It is in the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you and I have the right to the tree of life. Now that we are in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, God has made us something very special. You and I are ambassadors of the Most High God. And as ambassadors of Christ, we must show the world the mercy of God in our everyday life. See, we must be merciful to all men, especially to them of the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6 and round about verse number 10. For the next few minutes, I want to just show you, as ambassadors of Christ, that we must be merciful. And the way we show our mercy and the way we understand mercy, first and foremost, we got to understand what mercy is. See, I'm learning, in order for me to be merciful, I got to have the mind of Christ. Right. Oh, yeah, because if I go on my mind, we're going to have a problem. We got to have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and round about verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, you know that old saying, pay me now or pay me later. You ever heard that? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You either confess him now, or you will confess him in that last day. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Son of God. See, we must develop the mind of Christ. And I'm learning that when you develop the mind of Christ, there's something you got to do. You got to learn how to edify the body. Oh, yes. I'm learning to edify you, to build you up, and to help you to see it in this Christian walk. No matter what transpires, you're not in this by yourself. Anybody got any problems in here? Huh? All the rest of y'all ain't got no problems. You stay away from me. You stay away from me. Because if you don't have any problems, then you might be working for that fella that has deceived the entire world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and round about verse number 8, Paul says, we're troubled on every side. So if you're not troubled, you better ask yourself a question. Who am I really working for? Or who is really the God that I serve? Because Paul says that in this life, you're going to suffer some trials and tribulations. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested. How? In our mortal bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Jesus said, if they despise me, guess what they're going to do to you? If they hate me, they're going to hate you. If you live up to what God requires of you, it's going to be some trials and tribulation. And guess where it's going to start? Jesus said, a man's foes, his trouble, is going to be first and foremost in his own household. Oh, I'm learning that when you stand up for Jesus Christ, even sometime your mate might want to leave you. Y'all quiet. Your children might forget. Y'all quiet. Jesus said a man's biggest foes will be them of his own household. But can we be like Joshua? Joshua 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I've tried everything else. It just don't work. You ever have that empty feeling after you done got all you can get? You know, work like a dog all your life. Not some of y'all, but, you know, you work like crazy. You got everything you need, loaf of bread under each arm, grits in the pantry. Wait, and you're still missing something? Well, that's why a lavish vacation can't compare with the vacation that comes from the Lord. Oh, I'm learning, church, that when you understand this world is just here to deceive you, and God has given us everything we need, man, life takes on a whole new meaning. Peter said it. 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 2 and verse number 2. According to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who have called us by glory and virtue. See, I'm learning. I first and foremost, if I'm going to be merciful to those that I come in contact with, I got to develop the mind of Christ. And as I develop the mind of Christ, guess what? I got to encourage you, remind you, edify you, and build you up. That means I got to give you some of my time. Y'all don't like give up time, do you? But isn't it amazing? It's amazing to me. Is this a leap year? Y'all help. Come on, y'all. Work with me this morning. I'm almost, man. This ain't no leap year, right? 365 days, and you work 40 hours a week. Oh, y'all work more than that. Oh, y'all even got a night shift. You work all the time. And on the first day of the week, 2 hours, an hour. And we have a difficult time doing that. 52 Sundays in a year. Y'all help me out. Help me to understand this. 52 Sundays, he asked you to assemble around this table to partake of this unleavened bread that represents his body that hung on the cross. Take up this juice that represents the blood that was shed on the cross. 52 days out of the year, and you make 10 of them. 52 days out of a year, 40 hours a week. Y'all help me out. Some of y'all math people, help me out. 40 times 12 is... Ooh, see that? See, you know what I'm talking about. How much sick time you got? About 480. How many times have you missed? Oh, maybe 3 or 4. Why? Because you expect at the end of that week, at the end of that month, at the end of that year to receive something. Why would you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and having done what he commands you to do and expect him to say, come on in? That's where the mercy of God comes in. Yes. And I'm learning when you develop this mindset, guess what? Developing the mindset helps you to edify and build up the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 15, Paul says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sliding of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love, may grow up into him and to all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joints together and compacted about by that which every joint supplieth. See, when you're missing in action, you hurt me. Amen, Wald, you don't have to talk to me. I know what this book said. See, when you fail to do your part, you hurt me. What, could you imagine my wife don't do her job? How long would I be married? Y'all looking at me. But I want to show you something. He says, from whom the whole body fitly joint together and is compacted about that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, may increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. Yeah, when you miss in church, you hurt me. I mourn for the condition of my brothers and sisters. You know why? Because you're part of me. And when you were part of something, don't you want to be around it? Yes. Well, when I first met that woman, I couldn't sleep at night. See, I'm not afraid to testify. I don't know about you. Boy, I couldn't wait to see her. Her mama didn't want me to see her. Oh, yes, I got a story to tell. I don't know about you. Got a story to tell. Slipping in the darkness. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all just gone on back where you're at. But see, when it was time to meet this woman and join with her, I was willing to sacrifice everything I had for her. And when I met Jesus, Lord have mercy, I had to put her to the back. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Because now that I have Jesus, man, life is beautiful. He loves me in spite of me. He forgives me in spite of me. And he helps me to be the best I can be in spite. Boy, what a love affair I got with the Jesus that I serve. And if you ain't got a love affair with Jesus, you might not have one with your wife or your spouse. Amen, Walls. Let me move on. That's not part of my lesson either. But I just want to encourage us this morning, church, that when we really understand this word mercy, we develop the mind of Christ. Then we edify one another. That's why it's so important that we see one another, that we hang with one another. You know why? Because I need you to help me to stay on the right track. And when you are not on the right track, one of us ought to be. Amen. The church should never be in a state of derailment. You know why? Because iron sharpens iron. Amen. And I'm learning that. See, when we develop the mind of Christ, we'll edify one another and we'll learn. We'll learn how to reverence. I don't know about you. I've learned how to reverence Christ. And I've learned that in reverencing Christ, I reverence that I am the God of heaven. I don't know about you. Church, I'm learning that somewhere down the line as God's believers, as ambassadors of Christ, there are some things we've got to learn. I've learned that the world we live in means absolutely nothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 1, Paul says, "For we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle be destroyed," Paul said, "I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." That's why in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, I don't use that too much in funerals anymore. That's for me. Stay and don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Stan, you know what? In my Father's house, there's many mansions. Guess what, Stan? I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, when death knocks on the door, you ain't got to worry about nothing because I'm going to give you the victory even in death. That's why he reminds the believer, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58, "Be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know." I'm not doing this for no reason. I'm doing this because I'm expecting a payday. Amen. That's right. And when I get paid, I don't know about you. I'm expected to be paid. Amen. Don't look at me funny. Why you go to work? Huh? You go to work to get paid. Let him be a penny short. Boy, you'll argue all day long over one penny. No, I'm expecting God to say, "Well done, Stan. You've done what I've commanded you. You've been faithful over a few. Enter into the joys of the Lord." I'm learning that when we edify the body, we'll develop reverence. We'll learn how to be reverence to Christ. And we'll learn that the I Am, the God of heaven. And as ambassadors of Christ, we must also learn something else. We must learn how to be faithful. That's right. I don't know about you. On my deathbed, I don't want to say, "Well, you know, honey, I was faithful to you almost." Yeah. Not going to work. No. We must learn to be faithful to the Lord. Paul reminds this young gospel preacher to be faithful. The things you've seen and heard in me, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, "For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If I diligently seek the kingdom of God, why would I expect anything less than well done? Huh? Makes no sense to me. I'm not the smartest in the world, or like they say, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the bunch, but I sure ain't the dullest. And I've learned that when I trust God, and because of who I am and what he has required of me, I must be faithful until he calls me from labor to the other side. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Not only must I learn to be faithful, but I have to learn how to You're ninth of believers. That's right. It's my job, it's my responsibility, just like it's your job and my and your responsibility. That when I'm missing an action, somebody ought to pull my coattail. Amen. And if I know you're missing, I'm going to pull your coattail, your shirt tail, and every other tail you might have. Why? I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. Are we members one of another? Or are we like Cain and Abel?